Midday Report on 702, your number one news and talk station.
8 minutes past 12 o'clock. Good afternoon from me, Ray White, on the Midday Reports. Drama, drama, drama of the past 24 hours. We're taking a closer look at the state of play regarding the future of President Jacob Zuma. The country has been on a political roller coaster ride since Sunday evening when the ANC's top six first met with Zuma. To get some clarity on the way forward for you, crossing shortly to Gay Davis in Parliament to find out exactly what the chief whips have had to say. And then the ANC's spokesperson Pule Mabe, he's said he'll try and get through to us today. He's going to try and clear his schedule to chat to us to find out exactly, or so we can find out exactly what has been going on and what is the way forward as well. We need to know. Then in other news, the Mangaung local municipality is being urged to supply people with safe drinking water after some Bloemfontein residents became ill. Also, tender irregularities at Eskom, and I hope you didn't miss it, the Falcon Heavy mission got underway last night with a car now moving through space, playing a David Bowie song. So we'll be chatting to the South African National Space Agency about this. It's absolutely fascinating. Lots to talk about on the program this afternoon. You can SMS me on 31702 or 31567 or tweet on @RayWhiteSA.
The Midday Report on your number one news and talk station.
Well, like I said, it's been a week of uncertainty with regards to the leadership of our country. The past 24 hours alone has seen the State of the Nation address being postponed, a special ANC National Executive Committee meeting being convened and then cancelled, and then reports of talks between the President and his deputy Cyril Ramaphosa. So where do we stand? Well, let's go to Parliament now, where the chief whips of the different parties have been meeting with an announcement expected. On the line is Eyewitness News parliamentary reporter Gay Davis. Good afternoon, Gay. So what's happened so far then?
John, I'm standing in the lobby of the old Assembly Chamber, and a short while ago, the chief whip emerged from their meeting. Jackson Mthembu, the ANC chief whip, very tight-lipped, not prepared to divulge any information about those discussions that have been taking place behind closed doors, saying it was a closed meeting. But the DA's chief whip, John Steenhuisen, a little more forthcoming and essentially saying that the discussions there had obviously focused, as we knew they would, around rescheduling SONA, but no fresh date decided on as yet. And we've got the door open, apparently, for SONA to be staged next Thursday evening. The program has been kept open for that eventuality. But everything, Ray, depends on the talks that are underway within the ANC with the President of the Republic, Jacob Zuma. Now, the one clear thing that seems to have emerged is the budget date of the 21st of February will not be moved. And we know that to shift that date would upset the entire budget timetable, a very tight and complicated process here in Parliament where things have to be done by certain deadlines. Otherwise, you can't pass the budget, and that means that departments and local governments and provincial governments don't get their allocations. It would be a complete disaster, and it would also send a terrible, terrible message to the markets and the public at large.
Yeah.
So it seems as though the next two days are going to be critical. We're expecting some sort of announcement from either the Deputy President, the ANC, the Presidency within that period. We can't say when that announcement might come or what it's going to say, but it seems as though it's a possibility that the goal is to have the President agree to stand down and then to quickly embark on the process of making Cyril Ramaphosa president next week, which would take place in Parliament, and then on Thursday evening next week to have the SONA go ahead with Ramaphosa as the president of the country in delivering that address.
Right. Eyewitness News parliamentary reporter Gay Davis on the line from Parliament. Well, let's stay with the story now, and on the line is the ANC's national spokesperson, Pule Mabe. Good afternoon, Pule. Welcome to the Midday Report.
Afternoon and afternoon to your listeners.
So we all want to know, where does the country stand with regards to the ANC and the president? What is the latest? What is the status quo?
We have already conveyed a firm message through the Secretary General of the ANC, Comrade Ace Magashule, to the extent that the president of the ANC and the president of the Republic have had constructive and fruitful engagements, and that the National Executive Committee will be meeting next week as was scheduled. And what it will do is the decision and results it takes in that meeting will be able to be conveyed to the general public.
Do we know that are more talks being held today between President Jacob Zuma and his deputy Cyril Ramaphosa?
Well, we're unable to get into that space. Safe to say that if there is any development, the media, as an important part of us reaching out to the public, will be informed.
This morning, we heard from Snooki Sikalala from the veterans, and he was saying within the next 7 days, do we have, and I understand the position that you're in, do we have any indication whatsoever of an announcement coming out in the next 24 hours, the next 48 hours, just to give the SA public something?
Yes, well, I must just first clarify this. I mean, look, I've got a high respect for veterans of the ANC, and you will remember that I do not speak for the structures of the ANC. I speak for the ANC, you know, not for the Youth League, not for the Veterans League, and not for the Women's League. So safe to say that as matters stand now, the National Executive Committee will be meeting next week, as been confirmed, that we must allow the space for the fruitful and constructive engagements that is being undertaken, and that we are alive to the issues in the country, and that whatever resolve and conclusion gets to be made shall be one that brings the country together.
Pule, has the ANC been informed about a possible date for the State of the Nation address yet?
Well, I'm sure once the ANC is aware of those things, and once those things are communicated by the relevant structures, especially the Office of the Speaker of Parliament, I'm sure we ourselves, our MPs who are deployed to Parliament, will also be participating in that.
The ANC's national spokesperson, Pule Mabe, I do appreciate you coming on to the Midday Report. And I know that the information is very scarce at the moment, but I suppose we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
702 and Cape Talk.
The Midday Report.
19 minutes past 12 o'clock. Tender collusion involving four companies and Eskom is now under investigation. The four companies were referred for prosecution following allegations of tender collusion involving an Eskom tender worth 4.5 billion rand. Complaint was lodged by Eskom and an investigation by the commission is now underway. On the line is Eyewitness News reporter Gia Nicolaides. Good afternoon, Gia. So what is alleged to have happened and which four companies are involved then?
Good afternoon, Ray. Well, what we know is that four companies have been referred for prosecution involving this Eskom tender worth 5 billion rand. And the companies involved are SGB Cape, 10 Deco Industries, 20 Corrosion Control, and Superfactor Trading. Now, what the Competition Commission's investigation found, among other things, was that one of the companies, SGB Cape, concluded a bilateral agreement with each one of these other three companies to form three separate joint ventures to be used as to be used to tender collusively. And also, they've been accused of manipulating prices quoted by the company itself and the respective joint ventures.
So, Gia, just to understand this, this involves work to be done at Eskom's 15 coal-fired power stations then?
Yes, that's right. So they were basically doing work in terms of the supply, the installation, and the dismantling of scaffolding and thermal insulation for all of the 15 Eskom coal-fired power stations across the country. So you can imagine that it's a large tender worth 4.5 billion rand, and these companies obviously manipulated those prices so that they could get that work and do this very long contract in terms of doing this work at those fire stations.
Gia, the companies have been told to explain themselves. Have they been given a deadline?
Yes, so yesterday that they were informed of the allegations against them, And according to the Competition Commission, they have been given 20 days to respond. And they said that basically depending on that response will determine the processes on the way forward.
Interesting you say processes on the way forward. I mean, is there now a prosecution and the MPA becoming involved? Just explain what happens next.
So, in other words, Ray, it actually is referred to prosecution by the Competition Tribunal. So, the Competition Commission will first hold these companies accountable. Based on that, there is perhaps a possibility of criminal charges, etc., coming forward. But at this particular stage, the prosecution is only being referred to in a tribunal, and that's within the Competition Commission at this particular stage. So they'll have 20 days to respond. They'll have to answer to these allegations at the Competition Tribunal. And from there on, depending on their responses, a way forward will be determined.
Eyewitness News reporter Gia Nicolaides.
SMS us on 31702 or 31567.
Also, some of your tweets on Atre White SA. Bopela Malapela says, with respect, Pule Mabe and the ANC disrespect us. So it is not an ANC republic. And I agree with you as well. Last night, the news cycle, all of a sudden there wasn't an NEC meeting. And then all sorts of rumors came out about this happening and that happening. And now there's been talks between the ANC leader, Cyril Ramaphosa, and the president, Jacob Zuma, and it just seems to go round and round and round. And I think one of the biggest things I hope would come from today's interview with Pule Mabe was the fact that we need clarity, but I suppose he's a little bit hamstrung by his leaders. Then another SMS here says, Ray, why is the station mum about Putin's visit? That was another rumour, fake news that came out last night. So as we were getting news of no ANC NEC meeting and these talks take place after the Sona had been postponed, this fake news came out about Vladimir Putin coming to this country, and Eyewitness News did go and have a look at that. The presidency has now responded, or since responded, saying there's definitely no visit by Vladimir Putin. So we know in a cycle of fake news, a very dangerous cycle at the moment, so be very careful that you verify your news first, because if you don't, it could lead to trouble. It's now 24 minutes past 12.
The Midday Report.
And the Mangaung local municipality is being urged to supply residents with safe drinking water after some Bloemfontein residents became ill. An investigation has found water in the area to be undrinkable. Well, the DA said it had conducted a private test and found the water to be not fit for consumption. This was said it had a foul smell and colour as well. On the line is spokesperson for the Mangaung local metropolitan municipality, Kondile Kedama. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday Report. So what is wrong then with the water in Bloemfontein?
Yes, sir. We did receive a few reports that the water is smelly, the water is contaminated. So, but fortunately, what is happening in the city is that we have a daily tests that are being conducted before the water can be supplied to the residents of Mangaung. And those tests have given us some comfort because nothing was detected that makes the water not to be drinkable. Now, I can safely say that the water is drinkable. Yes, there are a number of issues that people are that the water is brown. But the question of decoloration of water is caused by a number of things. Sometimes when you keep your water in a reservoir as a result of drought, you keep it for some time, and so it means the maintenance goes up, and then sometimes when you fluoridate it and then it goes to the community, you'd find that the color is not yet as pure as you are used to, but it's drinkable, it's safe, it's hygienic.
Are you sure about that, Cornelia? And the reason why I say that, because a number of people say they got sick after drinking your water.
Look, the reaction of people, especially on colored water, would always differ. But the fact of the matter is that from the water that we dispose to the community or we supply, we are comfortable about the color. But we did indicate, for example, in Soutpan, we did realize that there was an element of contamination where we actually dispersed our water tankers immediately. So, and we want people that they must boil water. And as we do our routine test this morning, I'm actually from Soutpan as I speak to you, and we are comfortable with the situation at the moment.
Was it just Soutpan?
It was Soutpan. I know for the fact that there are a few things that we in our investigation that we pick up. One of the things that I think didn't go well with us is that there are contractors out there that are actually tampering with our network. For an example, if a person is into construction and they are busy, they change our pipes, put a certain type of pipe, and in that area, the you'd find that our water becomes compromised, because if you change the pipe and it doesn't auger well with the network that is there, then it means you there's an element of compromise of water. But we have taken steps against some of them, and then we're saying nobody is allowed to tamper with the infrastructure, especially the pipes of the municipality, mm-hmm. without the permission. Some we've actually brought in book, because we've also discovered that they are not even paying for the water that they're using.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Those are some of the things, but... you know, it is important that you bring the element of a test afore, because what is important to us is that we do not supply people with a water that is not at the standard accepted.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but they're saying in Soutpan they had a foul smell and colour. Now, we've spoken about the colour, and I get that. Very often the water in Gauteng comes out milky. I do get that. But what about that bad smell? What happened there?
No, if you can check with anybody at Soutpan now, the situation has cleared up. Even the color has improved significantly, but we have left our tankers there just in case somebody is not comfortable. But from the hygiene perspective, we are comfortable with the water that we are currently supplying.
Because that private investigation actually had an E. coli count that wasn't very good, and that was the reason why people got sick.
Who has conducted the
It was the Democratic Alliance, had a private investigation, so a private test.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how to get into that space of where does Democratic Alliance or what, because now you start politicizing the operational work. And what is important for us, we have a mandate that, especially from the water perspective, that people have, there are certain standards that are set up there nationally, that the quality of water must be at this point. In terms of the tests that are supposed to be conducted, this is the report that you need to provide to the city as the laboratory. So those things are being adhered to, all of them. Now, if somebody goes out there out of volition to do certain things or to spoil political points, those are issues that I do not want to entertain, because we are dealing with operational matters here, and we are comfortable with the standards of those operations.
Mwandile Kedama, thanks for your time on the Madeira Report. Spokesperson for the Mangaung Local Metropolitan Municipality. And if you're happy with your water in Bloemfontein, SMS me. I know quite a few people do listen from the Free State over streaming audio or on DSTV. Please do let me know. I'd like to hear from you. You can SMS me 31702 or 31567. Some of your other SMSs. One says, Ray Watsef Ramaphosa is the one who's going to resign. We are living in a Zuma country, and anything is possible. That rumor also came out last night that President Jacob Zuma, in fact, it was more than a rumor, it was quite a grounded suspicion that Ramaphosa would be asked to resign, but that was also refuted by the presidency as being absolutely incorrect, and those talks then did continue yesterday. Another one says, good afternoon, Ray. I sincerely hope we get clarity soon regarding President Zuma's position, because political and economic stability goes hand in hand, and that is from Peter in Greenside. Well, Peter, what we're going to be doing a little bit later on in the Madeira Report is having a look at the rand and how it's gone up or gone down over the past 24 hours. But most importantly, what's going to be happening with our local currency in the next 72 hours or maybe the next year, if and when the president does go.
The Midday Report on 702.
Your number one news and talk station.
21 minutes to 1 o'clock, and the International Finance Corporation and First Rand Bank have announced that 12 billion rand is being allocated to First Rand Bank to help fund small and medium enterprises. There'll also be a focus on women-owned businesses, which is good news. Small businesses often complain about not having enough funds to start their enterprises. On the line is manager at the IFC Sub-Saharan Africa Financial Institutions Group, John Wilson, who is based in Nairobi. speak. Good afternoon, John. Welcome to the Midday Report.
Good afternoon, Ray. Good to be on the program.
Great to have you on. Take us through this investment. I mean, what does it mean for small business then?
It's part of a larger investment package we call the SME Push Program, where we're trying to help the large financial institutions, the banks, first round, FNB in this case, to reach more clients in the micro and small enterprise space. And in this case, particularly women-owned companies.
Has there been a case that then women-owned companies have not been given enough attention?
That is absolutely the case. It's true everywhere, not only in South Africa, but it's quite prominent in South Africa. Women constitute a small fraction of those that receive credit from banks.
So has FNB explained who will actually qualify for access to these funds and how this will actually work?
FNB will make the selection. We have an agreement with them that we will monitor and supervise this, and it's according to certain criteria, but they will have to make the selection because it's important this is done on a commercially viable way. So they will have to be comfortable with the risk at the final decision making.
Certainly is a boost for confidence in South Africa.
I hope so. I mean, the program we're trying to put together, the SME Push Program, we're looking at trying to mobilize $2 to $3 billion, that's 40 to 50 billion rands, depending on the exchange rate, into the market. And that's quite significant. And all of that would go to micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises.
You've obviously done your homework on South Africa when it comes to small business. What did you notice? What did you see?
What we see is, first of all, of roughly 6 million MSMEs, in the country, only a fraction, 10% of those are formalized companies. All of those formal companies have bank accounts, more or less, but only, again, roughly half of them reach any kind get any kind of loans from the formal financial institutions. That means that everybody else needs to get access to funding from somewhere else. And it's probably much more expensive and much less reliable. So if we can shift that numbers from a few hundred thousand to maybe 600,000, 700,000, that would have a great impact not only on the economic growth, but also on jobs in the country. So there's a great potential also for the banks to expand their business.
So in other words, people will be getting a better deal, because that's the thing. If you go and borrow money now, it's the interest rate and people just can't afford those repayments.
Exactly. It's difficult to get credits. Credits are expensive. We will not subsidize the interest rates, but we will help the banks to reach more clients than they do today. And down the road, we also try to introduce various kinds of incentives and risk-sharing facilities that will help them to reach segments that they find too risky today. I don't think the pricing is the main obstacle. I think the risk adversity of the banks, they're a little bit too conservative.
Just hearing you say that, I mean, what does this mean? What are the timelines for people to get money? Because I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this interview saying, great, well, what happens next?
Well, what happens next is that the banks that we're working with, in this case FNB, now have a greater ability to extend facilities. They will still be demanding. They will still require their clients to be creditworthy. Because it's important, it's critically important that the banking system is not derailed or compromised in any way. So the quality will have to be there. But we're working with them and trying to identify new segments that haven't gotten financing before. And in this case, we're targeting women-owned enterprises. So hopefully more women owners of MSMEs can get access to financing from FNB in this case.
That sounds great.
In
John,
the future from other institutions as well.
John Wilson, thank you so much. Thank you for looking at South Africa. John Wilson, based in Nairobi, manager at the IFC Sub-Saharan Africa Financial Institutions Group.
SMS us on 31702 or 31567.
Some of your SMSs, and I did ask the question about water in the Mangaung local municipality in the area, because We had the interview, and it basically came out, well, the council saying there's nothing wrong with our water. It was just soap pun. So I put out the questionnaire to saying, if you are listening to this radio station at the moment, let us know about water quality in the Bloemfontein area. One says, Ray, water in Welkom, which is not Bloemfontein, but water in Welkom tastes and smells like mud. Bring bottled water when visiting. Discolors the skin noticeable on the face and color. Goes back to normal after returning to Gauteng. Well, that doesn't sound good whatsoever. Another one says, Ray, I live in Bloemfontein. The water tastes like mud, undrinkable. I have been ill for a few days now. And then another one says, it's not only soap pun. Most townships around the Free State water is full of sand and brown. The guy's lying, and that's Bangiswa. He is SMSing from Fuljunskroon. Keep your SMSs coming on 31702 or 31567 or tweet on @RayWhiteSA.
The Midday Report on your number one news and talk station.
Well, I did mention it earlier. There appears to be positive sentiment in financial circles following the news that the president is set to step down. While this hasn't been confirmed yet, and we are waiting for clarity on this. In fact, one SMS says, Ray, I'm sure there's going to be an announcement soon. Well, we just don't know. There are strong indications, though, that President Jacob Zuma will step down, with the Veterans League's Snooki Zikalala saying on the 702 Breakfast Show this morning, it won't be longer than 7 days, but we still don't know. So where does this leave the Rand and the local economy? On the line is a professor at the School of Economics and Business Sciences at WITS, Professor Yanni Rousseau. Good afternoon, Professor. Welcome to the Midday Report.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to the listeners.
So how did the Rand react then to the news of the State of the Nation address being postponed and there being an ANC-NEC meeting?
The Rand has responded positively since the announcement that Mr. Ramaphosa has been elected as a leader of the ANC. The markets really like this. The rand at the moment is at about 11.93, so again, a positive development today in response to the postponement of the SONA and the postponement of the National Executive Committee.
Professor, if and when the president steps down, and I think it's going to happen, I say that, but the days tick on. If the president steps down, what can we expect from the Rand and from the markets as well?
My expectation is that the Rand will appreciate further when Mr. Zuma steps down. I should hasten to add, though, that when I talk about the Rand or the markets, I'm not vice registered and nothing should be taken as financial or investment advice. But it's clear to me that there's been a discount on the Rand, which I call the Zuma discount, because of the corruption and the mismanagement that took place under Mr. Zuma's watch. International investors avoided South Africa, and as a result, the exchange rate of the Rand was lower than would otherwise have been the case if we had more capable leadership in South Africa.
There seems to have, though, been a turnaround when Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa went to Davos.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Ramaphosa went with a very positive message. And Mr. Ramaphosa speaks the language that international investors understand. Whereas Mr. Zuma increasingly acted easy, as if he was the chief of a fiefdom somewhere, and really didn't care about the South African economy or the consequences of his actions.
Just hearing you say that, is Jacob Zuma's reluctance to step down hurting the Rand day by day and the economy as well, or are we quite resilient when it comes to that?
Well, naturally, Mr. Zuma's reluctance to step down is hurting the economy. He's been hurting the economy since he took office in 2009. We've suffered corruption. We've suffered bad conduct on the side of the government, which all these actions scared off investors from South Africa. So we've really suffered a lack of investment in South Africa because rest of the world didn't want to do business with a country known for rife corruption and the likes.
Professor at the School of Economics and Business Sciences at WITS, Professor Yanni Rousseau, great to have you on the Midday Report.
702 and Cape Talk.
The Midday Report.
8 minutes to 1 o'clock, and South African billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk has successfully launched his new rocket, the Falcon Heavy, from the Kennedy Space Station in Florida in the U.S. Up to now, such an operation has only been undertaken by the U.S. government and NASA. Musk tweeted, apparently there's a car in orbit around Earth. Well, his plan is for the $100,000 Tesla Roadster with the message "Don't panic" on the dashboard and David Bowie playing on the speakers, the Space Oddity song coming out, to cruise through high energy radiation belts that circuit the Earth towards deep space. In fact, that happened early hours of this morning. Its projected path will bring it close to Mars. There is a tiny chance it may crash into the red planet. If it stays on course, it will instead drift through space, potentially for millions of years. Some images and sounds have emerged from the launch, and so take a listen. They also cross to the car in space playing David Bowie.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. T-Force 30 seconds, if you can hear me over the cheering. Falcon Heavy heading to space on our test flight. Building on the history of Saturn V Apollo, returning pad 39A to interplanetary mission.
So that's what happened in the early hours of this morning. And David Bowie in space. On the line is SANSA Space Operations MD, Roel Hodges. Good afternoon, Roel. Welcome to the Midair Report.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's great to have you on. A proud moment for Elon Musk, but also South Africa, I think.
Yes, I think being a South African and watching him do his thing makes us all proud.
Now, looking at SANSA and our involvement in space, I mean, what is our relationship with NASA? What are we up to?
Well, we are South African, have a space agency, and we monitor these type of technology advances, and for future technology in South Africa, where we planning to build we're building a satellite and the launch capabilities of those satellites, and it all bends back to the technology worldwide that helps not South Africa, Africa advance.
Do we have a budget for this? Do we have a program for this? Just explain.
Well, the South African Space Agency has a program called EOSAT-1, busy building a commercial Earth observation satellite, which should be launched in 2019. And yes, we have a budget and we're busy building it.
So you spoke about a satellite. A satellite for what?
For Earth observation. If you have a look at something like Google Earth and the data that's projected on Google Earth and the data we use every day in our life, to project the drought in the Cape and the agricultural in South Africa, the satellite will benefit South Africa in that respect.
So we'll be working with the Americans, maybe the Russians?
Well, we work in the space industry, we work with everybody. Everybody that's got good technology, and we share that technology across the board, and we use it to the good of the nation.
Now, I'm going to be very ambitious here. Are we looking at some points having a South African astronaut in space?
Well, yeah, if you say some point, yes.
And what point is that? I'm putting you on the block here.
Yeah, space industry and space planning is very long term. So, 15 to 20 years, the possibility is there, yes.
And of course, I'm talking about the space station as well. It would be great to have someone going up to the space station and even Mars. I know we have a few candidates in South Africa who want to go to Mars.
Yes, but we've had a South African on the space station, so it's not new. So we've achieved that goal. And then going to Mars, we've got some candidates, and that is what this technology is all about. There's two reasons for the Falcon Heavy. One, going to Mars. Two, it's to make it commercially cheaper to launch satellites.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a private operation. It being private, is there a reason for that? Or is there the will from NASA and South Africa to get involved to say, don't worry about Elon, don't worry about Elon Musk, we've actually got the bill for this one?
Yeah, I mean, why is it? It's just a commercial operation. And launching a satellite today is, there's only one way. It's going commercial. You talk about the French Space Agency as commercial. You talk about the Indian Space Agency launches commercial.
Mm.
So it's not government launch. Government doesn't, very few. I mean, NASA doesn't have a government launch program. They're using launches. So launching has become commercial worldwide.
Right. SANSA Space Operations MD, Roel Hodges. Thanks for joining us on the Midday Report. Minutes to 1 o'clock, and news from the Western Cape. The trial of murder accused Jason Ruda is continuing today, but there are still some questions over why he has been absent at the trial. Ruda is accused of strangling his wife Susan and staging the crime scene to make it look like a suicide. Well, there's been an important judgment in that case. On the line is Eyewitness News reporter Shamila Fisher. Good afternoon, Shamila. What's just happened?
Yes, good afternoon, Day. Judge Hayat Salihluk has just ruled that the matter will stand down until the 21st of February to afford Jason Ruda an opportunity to receive the treatment at a local clinic that he has been at for the past week. We did hear from his psychiatrist, who has been treating him at this clinic for the past week, saying that Jason Ruda is suffering from a major depressive episode. He says he is recently, when he saw him at the end of January, he realized that his behavior has drastically deteriorated, saying that he's got symptoms of feeling low, sadness, anxiousness, and therefore they've decided to hospitalize him and place him on medication, and they are therefore monitoring him. And the defense argued today that he needs to continue being at this hospital to be on antidepressant medication for the next few weeks, and therefore they want this postponement. And when they do come back, they want to tell the court whether or not there has been any progress or any change in his condition, and then only they want to continue with trial proceedings.
Just hearing you say that, has his family been in court with him, his children?
Not at all. We do know he's got three daughters, but they haven't been at court at all. And I think that's largely due to the fact that they want to keep the children out of the media frenzy, because there's always photographers, and this case is has drawn a lot of public attention. So there are no family members. We do know that the brother of Susan Ruda, who was Jason Ruda's wife, will be flying from Melbourne, Australia next week, because he was supposed to fly down from Melbourne, Australia next week to come and testify. And the next witness after that is supposed to be a police officer who's going to shed more light about the crime scene.
Eyewitness News reporter Shamila Fisher on the line from Cape Town. And that wraps up the Midday